Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Bone of the Mo Thugs movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen, in the world full of followers, be proud to be different, be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. we got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'm gonna ask you this though, what do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. We got a hell of a show for you today. We're doing an MMA Gold special. You know, you got to pay respect to Northern California, Jim West, and all of the great training aspects over there at MMA Gold. When you look at the sport, you know, a lot of shows will do just legends and people that are popular of the moment. I like to share all aspects. You know, I believe the future is great. I think it's growing, and this young man, Adam, and I know I'm going to ruin it, but Adam Avedia, you've had a tremendous amateur run. You've had a tremendous amateur record. What does a sport truly mean to you moving forward, being that you're set to fight GKO?
Honestly, man, this sport for me is just it's a way to challenge myself, right? And it's one of the hardest ways to challenge myself. If you look at all sports, I've been involved in sports my whole life, and the hardest thing I've done is mixed martial arts, by far. It tests you mentally, physically, you know, in every aspect.
Almost definitely. Now, when you look at MMA Gold, you know, you've been there just about a year. What has that aspect instilled in the training, the knowledge, and the ability of you, Adam?
It really changed everything for me, because my background is I'm a karate and black belt, and I wrestled the majority of my life. And when I got to MMA Gold, it was just the team, and we had every coach, you know, and everybody knows what everybody's doing, usually. All the coaches are on point with each other, and we're all working on stuff to, at the end of the week. Everything kind of ties together. And, that's really what the transition, they made the transition into MMA very simple for me. I was lucky to end up where I did.
Oh, yes, you are. You know, we got a caller. I don't know who this is. It is one of the other guests coming on, so it must be coming. Somebody calling to talk to you. We'll put it through, and if it gets ignorant, we'll hang up on him.
Okay.
You're on The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire. Hello? Well, goodbye.
Sounds like it was a talking about.
I ain't going to waste your time, bro. You know, okay, we look at the sport, and there's a lot of things that could be learned from talking to a warrior about the sport, away from the sport. You know, and I'm sure you've probably been asked this before, but what was it truly that led you down this path, that made you decide in your heart that this was the lifestyle that was for you, and what led you to the aspect of defining yourself even more through MMA Gold?
When I was growing up, martial arts was always a part of my life. And because both my grandparents are black belts, fights were always on TV. I mean, I grew up in Stockton, California. So just, you know, the area, it was always a little rougher mentality. And, I got into it because it was really the only thing that, like, I was good at. I was better than people at. You know, I never was that great of a football player. wasn't that great of a wrestler. I was an okay wrestler. Tried every sport. Couldn't run track to save my life. wasn't coordinated enough to play baseball or basketball. But when it came to fighting, man, I could always scrap. And even though it's not my style, I always had that in me. And I started putting something to it and growing and realizing, oh yeah, I can go somewhere with this. So, you know, it was one of those things that just, I loved it and I wanted to chase it. So that's what I did.
Now, last March, you fought Slade Ring in GKO. You know, it was a tremendous outing for you. What did it truly mean to you, you know, being able that you're doing what you set out to do, but you're doing it with style?
Yeah. I was supposed to fight Slade Ring. I ended up fighting Thiago Dos Santos because Slade Ring pulled out a week and a half before the fight. So,
oh, my bad, because that's how they get it listed, bro. I never look up, to be fair to my listeners, will tell you, I never look up a question or anything, but I don't know of you. Your coach asked me to bring you on the show because you're an up-and-coming talent, and I like to share up-and-coming talent. But when you look at Tapology, it shows that as your last fight, you know, so maybe we need to get a call into them and get that corrected.
Yeah, Tapology says it's Slade Ring, yeah.
See, so I don't want to look like a complete ass. I'm an ass, but I don't want to look like a complete ass.
No, yeah, you're fine.
You know, a lot of fighters that get into this, they have situations in life that inspire them, that lead them this direction. Were there any aspects like that in your life, and how did your family conceive you moving into the sport?
Yeah, growing up, you know, there was always a little struggle growing up. I didn't really have things handed to me. My mom and dad made sure I was taken care of. I mean, to the fullest extent, made sure, you know, me and my brother and everybody else didn't go without. But, you know, that struggle was still there, and I could see it, and everybody could see it. So just struggling is not new to me, and I embrace that grind and just not having a weak mindset on stuff. And that helps in the sport because that's everything in the sport. I mean, you can get beat a month out before the fight even starts, just mentally you can be beat.
Oh, that is so true. You know, and plus, if most people don't know, if you live in Stockton, California anyway, it's not the nicest place to be anyhow. So you got to be up on your game anyhow. Especially with the Diaz boys, they probably cause more trouble there than anybody else. But
yeah.
You know, what does this opportunity mean for you going into GKO? And if you do come out as a winner, do you plan on stepping up into the pro ranks anytime soon?
Yeah, I'm real young. I just turned 19 in April.
Oh, you're a puppy.
April 14th. Yes, sir. So it's not so much rushing it because I personally feel like I could go pro right now and do great, but when I'm still so young and there's fights for me at amateur, you know, let's grab a couple belts while we're down here, get my name out, have these guys real worried about me when I go pro. And then when I get pro, get good fights off the bat, you know? So I still think there's plenty of time to build up as an amateur, and we're going to do that. We're going to fight here. Then we're going to look for something in August and then maybe something in October and just finish the year out strong, man. Put people on notice.
Oh, most definitely. You know, well, it's not listed who you're fighting. I don't know if you can announce that yet, but, you know, GKO always puts on a tremendous fight. Are you able to announce who you're fighting now, or they still got that under lock and key?
Yeah, the founder opponent right now. We're still looking.
Yeah, even though I wouldn't have pulled anything else off of Tapology anyway. It already got the first one wrong. That's crazy. But, you know, you look at the sport, and I know several trainers, I know several gyms, and I think you're doing the right thing, you know, because a lot of people get a few wins underneath the belt, and they think, oh, I got what it takes to be pro. You look at AJ McKee, who is a pro, okay, he's 12-0, 13-0. He's set to fight again, you know, next weekend, I believe. And you look at the aspects, and they've been giving him opportunity after opportunity for a championship fight, and he keeps turning it down. And I love that mindset in the sport because, you know what, you can always take your time and get where you need to be. You know, you're 19. You haven't even came to into your man strength yet, you know, and that's
yes,
a statement
sir.
Made from A.J. McKee. And you look at it and you talk to Antonio McKee, and he says, well, you know, we'll decide when it's time. And, I'm also in the boxing world, and I'm seeing that being a new aspect that's added. And I think it's tremendous for you younger fighters because it truly shows that your coaches care. When you look at all the coaches at MMA Gold and you look at their thought process and what they've taught you, you know, do you truly feel that you found the aspect that you've been looking for in your career?
Absolutely. That was the biggest thing. My senior year coming out of high school, knowing I wanted to do MMA, I was thinking, all right, I need to find a gym. I need to find a gym that's going to work for me and that I like, and I just want to make that gym my gym. Once I'm there, I'm there. And I got really lucky to Aspen Ladd, actually. I did karate with her younger siblings for years. And their dad kept telling me I had to come down to this MMA Gold. And I was like, all right, man. And I went down there like 1 week during – I had a break for wrestling. Went down there and just fell in love the first week I was there. Everything they did, all the coaches. It was – I knew it was exactly what I was looking for. And the more I went, the more I was sure that it was what I was looking for and that I had ended up at the right place. Because the last thing I wanted to do was where I wasn't going to grow. Like if I would have went in somewhere and just been, you know, just beating everybody off the bat, then I would have went, okay, this might not be the place for me. No, I went into MMA Gold, and, I mean, killer after killer after killer, I was getting destroyed. And I loved it because I know there's room to grow there. So, and it's still that way.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you say that because I look back in time, and I remember when MMA Gold came to me and they asked me to interview a young lady by the name of Aspen Ladd. It was before she was actually – anything really in the sport. I mean, she was blowing up on the local and regional scenes, but she hadn't really gotten into Invicta or the UFC or any of that aspect.
Yeah.
You know, what do you feel it is about that gym that is creating champions? You look at Anthony Fluffy Hernandez, you look at Aspen Ladd, you look at Max Griffin, all these people have had their hands in MMA Gold. What is it about that gym that you found more relevance in?
I think it's exactly what I was talking about. There's always somebody to push you and make you better, right? And that's the mindset in that room when we're training is everybody's trying to get better. Everybody's always trying to get better. And because of that, people get better. So, and the coaches just, they'll tailor things perfectly to you. Like it's each coach knows exactly what they're doing. But I think the biggest thing for sure is just the push that everybody in the room has.
I have to agree with you there. You know, it's one thing to have a team that stands behind you, but when the cage door locks, you're truly on your own. You know,
yeah.
How is it for you knowing that you have such that tremendous aspect in training, you know, going in and the cage door locks, how confident are you when that aspects occur? Because, you know, you look at the sport, and let's be honest, a lot of trainers, you look at them, they're on their cell phones, they're sitting there, they're not doing their job. You don't get that at MMA Gold. So when that cage door locks, how prepared in your heart do you feel you are?
I think you're 100% prepared as long as because the physical preparation is going to be there. The mental preparation, if you're doing things right, is going to be there. The hardest part usually is people's personal mental, because if you're at MMA Gold, you're going to be pushed by everybody there. So physically, you're going to be ready. So I always have that confidence knowing, okay, I just survived, you know, 8 weeks of training or whatever it was. You know, I don't believe in fight camps personally, but you have that confidence from the training you just did. And when people know you got fights coming up, you know, we ramp it up a little more usually just for them. Or we'll tailor things just for them. You know, if they're fighting a southpaw, we'll get all the southpaws in there, or orthodox, or wrestler. We have all that. So that's what makes the huge difference and gives you all that confidence, because we have somebody for everything that you need.
And I love it too, like my guy and other aspects, they still partake in the sport themselves. So you're kind of getting that dual edge in training there. You're getting people from actually competing and teaching. And that helps the betterment of all fighters. You know, I kind of ask some weird questions sometimes, but now that you say, God, this is going to sound funny because you're only 19 years old, but you sit back now and you've got a few fights underneath your belt. Did you ever surmise that you would be at the spot in the sport in your career as you are?
I always believed I would do good, and I would do good, really. Everybody I came across, I always believed, you know, I'm going to win. I think I knew getting into the sport, I knew in my mind that I was going to make some people notice me. That was always my goal, is just make people notice me, too. When I fight, you're going to know I fought that night. That's my intention every time I fight. You're going to know I fought, and I want to be, if not the fight, one of the fights that you're talking about after, going, man, that was a good fight. That guy came to fight, you know.
Yeah, especially after watching John Fitch beat the crap out of Rory McDonald last night, and Fitch still losing. I just, that kills me. You know, that
those
caller
judges,
keeps coming
yeah.
back. I don't know if they're calling to listen to the show. If they don't answer us when I answer the phone this time, I'll just mute it because it's probably one of your family members, but we'll go ahead and answer the call and see if they want to ask you a question. The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire. How can I help you? Must be one of your family members, bro. I'll just go ahead and mute it and leave them online.
All right, man. Yeah, no problem.
You know, what does June 29th mean to you? You know, it's another step in the road, the path of you, Adam. How pertinent of a fight is this to you and your mentality?
June 29th sets up the rest of the year for me. And 2019, I told myself, you know, everybody I fight, I got to make a statement. Everybody I fight. So whoever I get in the 29th, that's going to set up who I fight in August. And then that's going to set up who I fight in October or whenever I happen to fight. But this next fight is everything for the next fight. You know, the next fight is the most important fight, always. So June 29th means a lot to me.
You know, we talked about this before we went live. Joe Cortez has built many a careers. What does it feel like for you to be an amateur and have opportunities in Global Knockout?
It's incredible, man. It's nice, and I understand that, you know, I'm privileged because of that. They don't have to let me fight on that card. It's usually an, you know, pro card, but they let me do it. I'm a local guy. I live in Jackson now. It means a lot for them to do it, man, on that level of a show too. You know, GKO, when people talk about it, it's always a great show, always. How they run it, fights they usually have. So for me to get the opportunity, I'm nothing but blessed, and I have to thank my coaches, my manager, obviously, and then Cortez and everybody else at GKO involved.
Man, you got a bunch of Stockton people in house, but none of them want to answer any questions. I'll go ahead and try again, bro. They hung up as soon as I said that. I guess they don't realize the show is live.
Yeah.
You know, there's aspects of life that define us. When you get that opportunity to walk by a mirror, or you're just sitting on the edge of the bed, or taking that walk down the park, you know, and you see a puddle of water and you get a reflection of yourself. Who do you see, not just as a warrior, but as a man?
You cut out a little bit, boss. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, because people keep calling in for you, bro. I said when you
walk
down.
Yeah, it was just at
the
end.
Yeah, I said when you walk down that pathway in a park and you see that puddle of water and you get that brief reflection into yourself, who do you see, not just as a warrior, but as a man?
I see somebody who's, you know, when he wants something, he's going to get it. And I'm not afraid to work hard. You know, that's what it takes for a lot of things. Yeah, just ambitious guy, man. That's what I've always been told, is just, you know, when you want something, you got to work for it. And you got to do everything 100%. Grandfather taught me that more than anybody. It was just, you know, you can't half-ass things. It's got to be 100%. And that confidence going into a fight, like we were talking about earlier, comes from the hard work you do. So I've known, and that goes for anything in life, right? You want to be the best driver, you got to drive a lot. You want to be the best whatever hockey player, you got to practice. So it's that's what I see. I see somebody who's not afraid to take risks, go out, and do what I got to do to get whatever I want done.
Most definitely. I like that answer. You got a hell of a fan base, son, because the board is lit up with 209 area codes, but nobody wants to ask any questions. So we'll just...
Right on, yeah. I got a lot of family over there, man.
Yeah, we'll just let it ride out. That's cool, man. What does it mean to you to actually have that much support from your family and the people of Stockton?
It's huge, man. It means a lot. It means everything. You know, without that support, you're kind of just, you know, you can still do it, but that support's huge, knowing going into fights, knowing I got people backing me up, right? And it's been people my whole life that are backing me up. So it's everything. The support is everything.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I kind of want to – you're so humble. You kind of – you make me want to bring up a thought from Kung Lee. You know, he said when he goes into the sport and he has a fight, whether he wins or he gets taught a lesson, he never looks back. He never looks over his shoulder. Would you say that's an aspect that portrays in you? Because you have that type of mentality that you let things of the past go and you always look forward to the future. Would you say that is a fair assessment in who you are?
I would say that's a fair assessment, yeah. If something went wrong in training or something, or sparring, I just did terrible. You know, I won maybe one round out of the 10 we did or whatever. It's just, okay, let's look back. What can we do to make sure that don't happen again? How can we get better? And let's forget about it, right? Let's work off of it. Let's grow off of it. Let's build off of it. If you look back and go, man, am I getting worse than I used to be? And, you know, just from one bad training day or a bad fight, you know, you showed up and everything wasn't clicking, because that happens sometimes. It does. You know, every fight's not going to be a perfect fight. You're not going to come in feeling 100% every fight. And your other guy could be on top of the world. And, you know, it's just a loss. But, yeah, I think you got to learn from it, grow from it, and then keep going.
Most definitely. You know, I love the sport. I walked away from being an engineer to pick up a camera and walk into this sport. And I'm truly blessed by it. You go into the sport, and you know you're not going to make any money at it, but you strive for greatness anyway. What is it,
yes, sir,
that's in the heart of you, Adam, that has you striving for that greatness? Because, you know, we all know that unless you're, you know, the Brock Lesners and John Fitch or whoever of the sport, you know, the paydays aren't that great. So what is it that keeps you striving to become that aspect that you want to be?
Honestly, it's just that I found what I love, and I know I found what I love. So regardless of, you know, amateur, I'm not getting paid, and I'm going in there, and I know I can get, you know, blasted with a head kick or something and be all hurt for the next month after the fight and concussed, but it's worth it just because it's what I love to do. So the money is, you know, it's nice when it comes, obviously, but I do the sport because I love it. Money is a bystander. Do I want that money? Yeah. Do I want to be that big star guy eventually? Yeah, I do. And I think my style will take care of that on its own. But right now, it's all about fighting for me, man. Proving that I'm better than, you know, each time you see me, I want to be a better version. Better version each time you see me. Go, man, this guy keeps getting better and better and better.
Well, you know, you obviously had, looking at what's right on your record, but, you know, like we said, Tapology got the wrong, you know, wrong fight, the last fight wrong, excuse me on that. It's been a long week, brother. But,
yeah, no problem.
You know, well, what are you going to do when the day comes that your idols of the sport become your rivals of the sport?
Man, when when that day comes, I think I'm gonna handle it the same way I handle every other fight. You know, it's this guy's in front of me now, and I don't want to make it about my opponent. I want to make it about myself, right? I forget what my opponent's doing. It doesn't matter what he's doing, because I'm going to do what I'm going to do. When you start thinking about what your opponent's going to do, you forget about what you're supposed to do, and that can't happen. So when I fight idols, I don't want to make it, you know, oh, crap, I'm fighting this guy now. This guy's good, man. I used to watch this guy. No, I want to make it. All right, cool. Another guy in front of me, it's another guy to beat. Let's go out there and, you know, show what we got.
Yeah, I like that. That's a dope answer. You know, we talked about your fan base. It's growing. You're obviously making big waves out there on the West Coast, and you're just an amateur at 19. If you had to make a statement about what the sport has truly done for you and paraphrase it into a statement, what would that statement be?
Oh, man, what the sport has done for me. I think the sport gives me a reason for training so hard, and the sport gives me a reason to wake up, get out, and go do what I'm going to do every day. Like, it gives me that, like, oh, yeah, I know I got MMA today. You know I got a fight coming up. Just nothing gets me as excited as this sport does for every day. That's what I would say, yeah. Nothing gets me as excited for this sport to wake up and go every day.
I like that. You know, you kind of mentioned something earlier that stuck in my heart. You talked about your grandfather. You know,
yeah.
That's an aspect of my life that, and he wasn't even my blood grandfather, but he was a gentleman
yeah.
that took me in, gave me advice, gave me knowledge, and made me the man I am today. When you reflect
yes,
upon your thoughts of your grandfather, what truly has it made in you?
Both my grandparents just being traditional martial artists, both of them, and that being the path that I went on, and just knowing, you know, man, they were so good, and having that knowledge too to back me up, you know, like you just said also, your grandfather wasn't even a blood grandfather. Well, the main grandfather who got me into this more than anything, he's not my blood grandfather either. But my blood grandfather is also involved, and he's also a black belt. So it's awesome, man, because I got the best of both worlds there, and makes a huge difference having that. When it's family related and you can talk about it with somebody who knows what you're talking about, it makes all the difference.
That's so true too. You know, brother, if you had to make a statement about June 29th, I know you can't name your opponent or you haven't found one yet, but if you had to make a statement to your fans, you know, in life sometimes we don't get that opportunity to thank the people that have stood side by side with us. We, you know, sometimes forget that pertinent aspect in life. But if you had to thank your fans and the people that truly stood behind you and whispered the words of intent and gave you that push when you truly needed it, a statement of thanks, what would that be?
Man, we're not slowing down at all, guys. Keep on supporting. I'm going to keep putting on a show. Thank you, everybody who comes to the fight. You guys don't realize how that feeling when I walk out and I know, you know, I got this crowd behind me. I got my coaches behind me. I got my team behind me, you know. It makes all the difference versus just coming out and being by myself. Like, that support is just another reason to keep going. You know, I got 100 reasons to keep going, but the support from the family and all the fans and the coaches and, you know, that's all these people now that I know are behind me and that are hoping I do good. And, you know, it really makes the difference.
It truly does, man. You humbled me, man. I got a 33-year-old son, and you're 19, and you're blowing my mind away. And I've been seeing this resurgence back in the sport. You know, for a while there, a lot of old schoolers, we lost faith in the sport, but it's fighters like you that are reinstilling the values in the sport, man. And I appreciate what you're doing. Man, I can't wait to June 29th. I can't wait to have you back on after. Because I already know what's going to happen, man. You sound determined.
Yes, sir.
And you've got a great team behind you in MMA Gold. You know, Jim West and my guy and all those people out there are tremendous
yes,
in what they do, and they're creating greatness in the sport. My friend, I'm going to hand the mic to you. Any sponsors, any friends or family, any social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program? The floor is yours, my friend.
Right on. Add me on pretty much on Twitter, on Instagram, it's the_chin_collector. You can add me on Twitter, add me on Instagram. I'm posting all the time. shout out Don Luis. It's my day one sponsor, and I own the Mexican restaurant. Been here since my first fight, still here to this day. Of course, I have other sponsors. Thank you guys as well. Fans, thank you so much. I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep doing my thing, getting these big finishes for you guys. I know that's what everybody loves. Thank you to my coaches, Jake, Ryan, Jim, Mike Guy, everybody. Thank you. Justin Durham, Alex Grunder. I mean, thank you to the team for letting me in, how you guys did, and, you know, really accepting me as a part of the team. Thank you to my family. Thank you to my dad, always supporting me, my mom, of course, the grandparents, and then my friends.
Most definitely. And we got to give Jim crap, man, and, you know, support your local Jim Jitsu.
Yep.
That's the only one I know that's ever changed jiu-jitsu into Jim-jitsu. I love the guy. I got to give him crap, man. He knows it, and we all know it. You know, it was truly an honor to have you on the show today, brother.
It was an honor to be on it, man. Thank you.
Oh, man. You're already a seasoned veteran at interviews. This is a rarity. You do better than Aspen Ladd. She's probably going to kill me because she's coming on Thursday, but, hey, at least you talk, bro.
Hey, you got it, right? It's two-part.
You know what? It truly was an honor. I wish you the best of luck in GKO June 29th. Thanks to MMA Gold for having you on my show. I look forward to having you back on in the future. You truly are a tremendous young man. Keep that ethic up because it's proving to be a true aspect of who you are, son.
Thank you, Don. It means a lot, man. Thank you.
All right. God bless you, bro. Peace.
All right. Can't wait to...
Ladies and gentlemen, what a tremendous kid, man. You know, not often do I get stymied by a young amateur fighter, but that kid's got potential. And go look at some of his fights and his record. You know, I'm sorry that Tapology had his last fight wrong. It's kind of hard to stay up with each and every fighter. But we're going to jump to our next guest, and that being Billy Brandt.
Hello.
Hey, Billy. This is Don McGuire with the Fighter's Voice. How you doing?
What's up, Don? How are you?
Oh, man. Just got done with Adam. Now I'm rolling on to you, brother.
Cool.
You know, you look at June 29th. I'm going to ask you the same I did with Adam. You look at June 29th, GKO. What does it truly mean to you, getting that opportunity?
You know, it's just another fight for me. Like, my first time on GKO, I've heard a lot of good things. Never fought for him, but, to me, like, I know it's my pro debut or whatever, but I've been training like a pro since I was, like, 13, you know what I'm saying? So to me, it really is just another fight, just with knees and elbows now, you know?
Now, the last Tapology was wrong, you know. Of course, Jim didn't really push too much into me about you. I had to go look myself. But you're fighting Christian Carter, correct?
Christian, it was Carter, yeah.
Yeah. You know, what does it mean for you to make your pro debut? I mean, you look at your amateur record, it's tremendous. It's actually one of the best I've seen in quite a while. What was the aspects behind, you know, looking at the decision of turning pro, and how did MMA Gold help you in that transition?
It would have been by the way, Tapology was wrong on that one. I think it was because it was a Gladiator Challenge card, so they assumed that it was professional, but that was still that was like my second fight, so that was amateur. But as far as my amateur record and like the switch and everything with MMA Gold, like I've been planning on going pro since I started fighting at like 13 years old, you know. It was never like, oh yeah, I'm just going to do it for fun. You know, it's always been the goal to build a career off fighting. And, you know, I've dealt with a lot of injuries. You know, I'm still a young dude. So I think the biggest thing was transitioning from like a teenager, you know, like a young 16-year-old kid who could fight every month, you know, and I didn't have to stretch. I didn't have to really focus on recovery. And now I'm definitely like learning that I have to take care of my body. So that's why it's taken so long. It's been like a 2-year layoff. But you know, it's time. I'm feeling healthy. I'm taking recovery more seriously. And, so yeah, it's long overdue as far as professional debut goes.
Well, Tapology is just screwing the hell out of me today.
Oh, but yeah, they tend to do that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I never look at it, to be honest with you, man. Usually 99.9% of the fighters are family that I have on my show, and I know in the sport because I'm an active photographer and I've been a journalist for 15 years. But I know this fight can't be wrong because it was your first amateur fight. It was against Corey Carino, who happens to be getting a lot of respect in the sport nowadays. What was that opportunity like for you stepping up against Corey, and how did it feel for your first time in the octagon?
Yeah, that was an interesting scenario. You know, I was at that point I was 16, and I had probably around like close to 20 either smoker or amateur Muay Thai fights. Actually, at that point I don't even know if I had any amateur Muay Thai, but almost 20 like smoker PKB type tournaments. When I was 16, and initially Dave Hirschbein came and offered me to fight Pancration, and I'm like, nah, that's whack, bro. Like, I've been kicking people in the face and punching people in the face since I was like a kid, you know, like a youngin. So he's like, okay, well, we might be able to get you on a casino card, and it's kind of like a don't ask, don't tell thing, you know. You're underage. You're not even allowed to be in the casino. So let's do that. So I ended up fighting Corey. I think he was like 22 at the time. I was 16, and yeah, and then the first round knockout, I went in there and fought. You know, one thing that I've always had is a good fight IQ. Like, you know, back then I didn't really have any jiu-jitsu, but I've always had a fight IQ, so I knew what I had to do. And I ended up clipping him in the first round and putting him away. And so now he turns with MMA gold, so it's funny how things come back around, you know?
Yeah, it truly is. You know, you brought up something that just fills my heart. I'm a Muay Thai freak, you know. I'm a Muay Thai fanatic.
I've had
opportunities to shoot Buckeye. I've had opportunities to interview Kru Yawadi Hurst, who was the first and only woman and the youngest woman ever to be inducted as a Kru in Thailand. And, you know, you look at the humble aspects of the Muay Thai world. What is it about you that had you transition from the Muay Thai aspect into the cage? Because you look at another warrior from Sacramento, Donald Robertson. He was into Muay Thai, stepped into MMA. He didn't fare so well in MMA, but then he went back to Muay Thai and he did tremendous. What is it about you that had you transition over?
I wouldn't even call it a transition. I still would love to compete actively in Muay Thai. I'm not a sole MMA fighter. I always refer to myself as a, even though I have more amateur MMA fights than I do amateur Muay Thai fights, I definitely think of myself more as a Muay Thai fighter, as much as some people on MMA Gold would hate to hear that. But I don't know, man. It was my first love, you know. I walked in an MMA gym. I started boxing and doing Muay Thai at like 12. It was either 12 or 13. I was a young kid, you know, and Muay Thai was just kind of the thing that took over my life. You know, I would train literally every single day after school. And yeah, as far as MMA goes, Dave actually stumbled into me. He came in, he brought MMA Gold over from Overcome to the gym I was training at in Folsom. And, I was working a lot of their guys as this young, like, 15-year-old kid, like, as far as stand-up goes, you know. I wasn't really focusing on jiu-jitsu, but they'd come in and spar, and I'd kind of, not all of them, but I'd pick a lot of them apart, and I'm a young kid, and so Dave was like, why don't you do MMA? And for a long time, I was like, not interested, you know. I'm gonna keep doing my own thing. I'm gonna stick with Muay Thai. For the longest time, I thought I was just gonna be a Thai boxer and a boxer, you know. And then it just kind of, like, I kind of fell into that Corey Carino fight, you know, and ever since then, it's just been, been a lot easier to get MMA fights just because Dave's always getting them for me, you know. So if I do Muay Thai fights, I kind of know everyone in the promotion business, like locally right now. So I kind of fend for myself as far as Muay Thai fights.
I happen to whisper into Scott Kent and Scott Zerzer from Lion Fight something about you. Sorry,
yeah,
Dave.
Please do, man. I would love. I don't know though, man. All that stuff with Tiffany. I don't. As long as they pay me, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know. I know
they treated Eddie Abasolo well, and I'd love to fight at Lion Fight. I was actually kind of looking into that. I'm going to Thailand in December. I plan on fighting one time over there, probably just a small stadium fight before I leave. But then, yeah, I would love to come back and get into some more Muay Thai over here.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah, and you know, it's funny is a lot of the up-and-coming Muay Thai fighters are from the West Coast. You look at Charles Rockstar Rodriguez from San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's crazy, man. But I got him an opportunity in Lion Fights. They wanted to sign him to an exclusive deal for like a year and a half. And mm-hmm. he said, man, no exclusive deal, and I will. But because Glory's been so good to him, you know. So it's mm-hmm. nice to see that there's more than one facet out there. But you look at MMA Gold. They, you know, you're back, you know, Jim West, the whole tremendous staff that's at MMA Gold. How have they reinvigorated you, and what are they doing to propel you and prepare you for this aspect coming June 29th?
You know, I have a lot of good teammates over there, and that's where I would say I get most of my progression is just working with good people. You know, Ryan Brown is my jiu-jitsu coach, and he's always, you know, any question I have, regardless if he has the answer at that moment, like, he'll figure it out. You know, we'll play with things, we'll try out new things. And then I have guys like Jordan Bailey, who's another dude that's been fighting forever, you know, young guy, but has been fighting forever. And that dude's just a savage. And he talks, can I cuss on here? Can I say shit?
Yeah, you can say whatever you want, bro. All
right. Good to hear. So yeah. So Bailey, man, Bailey's just always on my ass, running his mouth, talking shit. So that kind of propels me to work on the stuff that he whoops me at. You know, Bailey's one of those dudes where I just wish I could whoop his ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just runs his mouth so much, but I can't do anything about it. But yeah, he's been helping me a lot with my cage defense, stuff like that. And then I have guys like Michael Olson, who's another veteran. Lots of experience behind them. And then I have Jake Dwangara, who's been my Muay Thai coach since I was a young, and you know what I'm saying? And I'm getting some work in over at Main Event Muay Thai now. I've known Lino over there for a long time, and so he's been helping me out the past few weeks just on certain aspects of it, you know? So I got a really good team behind me, and as long as I keep working with people with good energy, man, I'm set.
Yeah, you know, I happened to interview Jordan Bailey in the beginning of his career, so I kind of show you on that aspect.
That dude's a maniac, man.
Yeah.
I wish I could whoop his ass.
Right? See, a lot of people don't realize that I've been interviewing fighters from MMA Gold, like I told the first guest, you know, before Aspen even became anything, you know, and Max mm-hmm. Griffin, Justin mm-hmm. Baseman, all of those mm-hmm. guys, man. And, you know, I'm originally from California myself, but, you know, you look at the aspects that they're instilling in fighters, it has to be spoke about because they're creating and defining, you know, champions that were created elsewhere, too. You look at the stuff they're doing with Andrea KGB Lee, Marion mm-hmm. Renault. You know, when you see aspects like that, you know you found a true place. With that being said, who out of the training staff at MMA Gold is the hardest on your ass? You know, and I don't mean it in the wrong way, but
yeah.
I want to know who sees the most faith in you as a fighter.
Yeah, that's probably got to be Ryan Brown, man. Ryan's like my big brother. You know, we get along really well. Our styles are like, we have totally different body types. I'm a thick dude, thick legs, like thick base, you know, and he's like a tall, lanky dude. But he's one of those dudes where no matter what the issue is, we'll figure it out. He's so experienced, and although he's never fought MMA, like, he's trained everything. He knows how to fight, and he's one of those dudes that, like, whatever I need, he's there, you know? So Ryan's definitely the one that's on my ass the most. And then Jake Dwangara is another, like, he's like my uncle, you know? I've known him forever, like, literally, like, kind of raised me, you know? When I was growing up in the gym, like, Jake was always the guy that I looked to for guidance, you know? He was always the one that was never letting me slip up, just keeping an eye on me, you know, and taking care of me like a big brother, a big uncle would, you know?
Yeah, I like that. You know, you look at your record, and a lot of the guys that you fought have went on to be tremendous in the sport, but there's one fight that kind of caught my attention. That was your fight with AJ Robb. What did you take away? What did you take away from that fight?
That fight was kind of, that one was more just if I stick to my guns, you know. AJ is one of those dudes where he relies on power, and I have power too. And I don't know if you watched that fight. I dropped him once or twice, but he clipped me super hard in the first round. You know, it was towards the end of the first round, and I just got back up, went to my corner. You know, I had Jake and Ryan, and they just kind of calmed me down, like got my wits about me, and then I just continued the game plan. You know, I chopped down his leg. So I have power, and you'll see this in the Cornell fight coming up on June 29th. I've always had power, but I've never wanted to be a fighter that relies on his power. You know, you see a lot of those guys where, like a Roy Nelson, right? Roy Nelson didn't have the cardio. He had the jiu-jitsu. He just never wanted to use it. But he just relied on his tongue. But like, when he fought some of the top well-rounded guys, like, you can't just clip people at will, you know? So my power is kind of that thing I have in my back pocket. And if I need to use it, it's there. But I really like to let my skill set show rather than just, like, a certain athletic or, like, a gift, you know? Power isn't really – power is a gift. You either have it or you don't, and there's certain ways you can excel it and get it a little stronger, you know, but it's still one of those things where you have it or you don't. And AJ, that whole fight was just trying to knock me out, you know, so I just stage shot him. I picked him apart on the outside, touched his leg. Like, once I got knocked down, I didn't really get touched for the rest of the fight, you know. I learned from it and just kept moving, you know, never got touched again.
Yeah. Now, this is a question a lot of people aren't really going to understand or might not even relate to, but I'm positive you will. You know, you look at Muay Thai and there's a spiritual aspect, a respectful aspect that's added to a fighter that, you know, is a practitioner. Would you say that has allowed you to maintain the focus that you need as you stepped into the MMA world?
Yeah, I would say Muay Thai is a total, like, I hate the word. So, you know, it's so overused, and people get all weird with it, you know, like, they use it as, like, a cop-out for their religion is spirit, you know what I mean? It's just kind of a bullshit word at this point, but that definitely is an aspect of Muay Thai, and I definitely think that's equipped me to just stay calm, you know, like, yeah, it's a fight, but, like, when I go in there, like, it sounds corny, it sounds like some corny fight movie, you know, kung fu movie, but I'm ready to die, man. And I'm at peace with that, you know. So I'm ready to go. And I'm sure, like, a tough guy like Cornell is probably thinking the same thing. So I just stay calm and just execute the game plan. And as far as game plan, I really don't even have a game plan. You know, I go out there and I adapt. And I think that's another thing where my fight IQ shows. If one thing is not working, we'll move to the next, you know.
You know, you do have a strong fight IQ. You can tell just by speaking with you. Who was it in the early days that instilled that type of intent in you? Who was it that defined you and made you realize that you can see things before they even occur?
That was a combination of people. You know, it was definitely starting off my roots in Muay Thai. It's a combination of Jake Dwangara, who I said that's been my Muay Thai coach since I was probably like, I want to say I met him at like 14 or 15, and I'm 22 now. We've been training ever since. But yeah, it's a combination of him and then one of my best friends, Abra Boudavant. You know, Abra's more of like the spiritual character. Jake is definitely you know, he approaches it like a true Muay Thai fighter, but Abra's always been the kind of like eclectic, kind of wacky guy, you know, but we'll just sit and talk about fighting for hours. And between him and Jake, like, I just really, and I don't know, you've probably shot Abra in some Muay Thai fights years ago, but he's one of those guys, man, where I just kind of watched him and learned from Jake and just stayed on a steady progression, you know, and it really turned out. And now I have guys like Lino Enriquez is helping me too over at Main Event, and he's one of those dudes with just a super smart, he has a specific style, but he lets you, similar with Jake, but he lets you work, you know what I mean? He lets you work your own aspects into his style. And fight IQ, man, I don't know, I don't really know what it is. I just know when I'm losing and I know what I have to do to win, you know? If I am down in a fight, I've always just kind of had that trigger, like that finger on the trigger, you know?
I kind of brought it up earlier, you know, the John Fitch fight from last night, but I want to use it with you in a different reference, because you look at John Fitch, and people say, oh, well, he's a boring fighter, he's this. No, man, he's a fucking grinder. He knows what he has to do. And whether he eats some leather doing it, he continues and he doesn't defer from that path. Would you say that's the aspect that you bring to the sport? You don't defer from your thoughts, your process. You continue to do what you know is right.
I'd say that's pretty accurate. I think the difference between me and John Fitch is naturally I am a little more exciting. And not that that's a bad thing, man. I don't care how I have to win the fight, I'll win the fight. You know, if it's the most boring fight and it has 600 million dislikes on YouTube just because it was so boring, but I won that fight and it was clear that I won that fight and there's no question that I won, then I'll do that. You know what I'm saying? I think naturally my style fits into the more exciting. You know, I move my head a lot. I throw tricky things, you know, so... But definitely, like, John Fitch is one of those dudes, like, he's boring all you want. Like, he wins fights, obviously. I think he came to, did he fight Ray McDonald last night? That was that fight, right?
I thought he won, but they gave it to Roy.
I missed it. I didn't see it. I thought they gave it to Roy. That's all I saw.
Yeah, the sport is pretty much in an uproar of it because Roy McDonald did. I talked to Kung Lee earlier today, and Kung was like, he didn't win that fight, brother. I was right there. Yeah. He didn't win that fight. And,
yeah, you know, I've been in this. I wasn't really sure about it.
They didn't want their golden boy to lose, is what it really is up to. They didn't want,
for sure,
you know, John Fitch to take the title and then go on in the tournament, which I think is bull crap. And Bellator, I'll call you bull crap. That's... And even though I know you listen to the show, that was a bull crap call. You know, one thing I didn't get.
Too much politicking, man. Too much politicking.
Yeah, well, they had it 48-46, one judge, and then two other judges had it 47-47, and then they called that a majority draw. Do the math, people.
Okay. Yeah, that's a little odd.
Do the math. You know, if you had to make a statement about your up-and-coming fight, can you let the listeners know who you're facing and how they can get tickets, brother?
I'm fighting Justin Cornell on GKO, the GKO card in Jackson, California. It's on June 29th. I was trying to figure out my Instagram situation. I had an Instagram, I deactivated it, and then now some weird shit's happening. I can't log back in. Hopefully I get that running pretty soon, but I'm on Facebook, Billy Songtok Brand. Just look up Billy Brand. I'm probably one of the only ones and definitely the only one that fights. But yeah, I think the tickets are on jacksoncasino.com, and then when you check out, just click, it'll say what fighter are you supporting or whatever, just type my name in there and show some love, you know?
That's what I'm saying. You know, if you had to make a statement to your coaches, your trainers, and the fighters at MMA Gold about how grateful you are to be back there and how much they've helped you in life and all aspects, what would that statement be, my friend?
Man, I've learned a lot just from people coming and going, you know, you just got to stay the course. Like, I have a lot of good people, and find people that you love to train with and just continue to train with them, man. That's all fighting is, really, is just continuing to give. That's how I got good at Muay Thai, you know. It wasn't necessarily the gym I was at. It was just the people I had around me. It wasn't even necessarily the coaching I had. It was just, like, a group desire to get better, you know. And that's kind of what we have at MMA Gold right now. We got a lot of guys that are, I wouldn't even say a lot. Me and the people I work with are really tight. Adam's been helping me out a lot with Southpaw. Jordan Bailey's been helping me out a lot with just basically everything. Michael Olson's always been my boy. It's just a tight group of people, and, you know, we all have the same goal, just getting better. For the ones that aren't in the UFC, that's where we're trying to go. Or one FC, I don't care. Just send me somewhere, you know, I'll fight.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And I'll get a hold of Lion Fights and see what I can add to that aspect also.
Don't lie to me, man. I would love to fight over there.
Bro, I don't lie to anybody. You can ask anybody that knows me. I'm transparent, bro. Yeah, I love the Muay Thai aspect. I know Jim's going to get mad at me. Bro, I sent him on there to talk about MMA, and you talk Muay Thai.
Yeah, it's my first love, man. I can't get away from it.
Well, I can't either, man. And I've shot from the UFC to Bellator, and I'm getting ready to shoot Invicta. I've only missed 4 out of, like, 35 of their shows. And the last one, I was on my way, and I got in a car wreck and ended up having to have a couple surgeries and still waiting on
surgery.
But, you know, when you love this sport, man, you don't hinder away from it. You know, now this is going to be your pro debut. And, you know, they call me the Barbara Walters of MMA, so I'm going to ask you a fucking girly question. But if you had to write a statement in the second chapter, because, you know, you are turning pro, and considerably we can call this the second chapter, if you had to write a statement about what that means to you, finally getting the aspect to turn pro, what would that statement be?
Man, I wouldn't even separate chapters. Right now, it's just active. You know what I mean? I'm trying to stay active. I've been amateur for so goddamn long, bro. Like, I'm just trying to progress. Like, I never wanted to be one of those guys that stayed an amateur for this long. But, you know, injuries kind of kept me away from it. But now I'm healthy and I'm figuring out my body. That statement would probably just say something like, stay the course, man. I'm almost there. You know, especially with the Contender Series right now, with 1SC, like, our options are open. Anybody that wants to do it, you know, just train your ass off. Don't be afraid to be a YouTube dude. Like, I've learned a lot of good quality techniques from YouTube. There's so many good coaches out there now. Just find your people and stay with them, you know.
Most definitely. You know, brother, it was truly an honor to have you on.
Oh, definitely,
you know,
man. Thank you.
Hey, you ain't got to thank me, man. I love sharing the fighters. That's what this show is for. The fighters created it. Like I said, I did syndicated radio, and, you know, for corporate, and I broke away because I got tired of all the rules. I wanted the fighters to be able to speak. I didn't want to be handed a card and have to ask them the same questions over and over and over again. You know, that's not life.
Yeah.
Life shouldn't be done that way.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
That being said, it was truly an honor to have you on. I'm going to toss the mic to you. If you have any friends, family, social media sites, or sponsors, or anything else you'd like to add to the program, brother, the floor is yours.
For sure, man. Thank you. I just want to thank everyone at MMA Gold, you know, especially the guys that don't have to help me, you know. Really, nobody has to help me. I have killers in my corner, and Jake Dondara, Ryan Brown, Jim's always helpful. Winston's always helping me. Me and Nick Marable are going to start working this week. I got so much love. Lucas Espinoza, he's been helping me at UFC gym. And then, yeah, tons of people. Main Event Muay Thai, and too many to list, man. If you add me on Facebook, you'll see all these people that I love that helped me out. You know, Saki Taifane, he's helping me out with the meal prep. But yeah, other than that, man, just if you guys are listening, go ahead and add me on Facebook. You can see more updates on the fight. And then sponsors, I don't know if any companies are listening to this, man, but I need sponsors. Fight in my DMs. I don't care who you are. Just let's get some work. You know what I'm saying? Thank you.
Oh, you're more than welcome. And, hey, bro, like I said, I got your number now. I'll get a hold of the people that I need to go get a hold of. And I'll have them contact you or Dave or however you want that aspect to work. But we'll see if we can
for
get
sure.
you a couple Muay Thai fights, bro. I love that aspect.
That's what I
want
to hear, man.
Well, Jim, I'm sorry.
Shoot my roof.
Yeah, Jim's going to be like, damn it, Don. But I do. I love Muay Thai, man. You know, people, if you haven't seen it, then you haven't experienced it. And you can watch
yeah.
it on YouTube or on a Facebook Live, but unless you're there in
mm-hmm.
person, you truly don't get an understanding of that aspect.
Yeah. I suggest to any human being, go to a Muay Thai fight, feel the energy. You know, there's something different, there's something special about it, for sure.
Yeah, like, but it's almost like hockey. You know,
mm-hmm.
you watch
yeah.
it on TV and it sucks, but you go see it in
yeah.
person, and it's like, damn.
Yep.
Yeah. But I look forward to having you back on after your fight, brother. You were a tremendous young warrior in your walk, and thank you for blessing my show, homie.
Thank you, man. Thank you, for sure. I really appreciate it, bro.
All right, bro. You have a good day, man. God bless you.
All right, be safe. Thank you.
Peace. Man, I just love these guys, Jim. You know, I got to be honest with you. The two fighters that I've had on so far, tremendous. But we're going to jump to not only a fighter, but a hell of a wrestler, that being a Nick Marable.
Hello?
Hey, Nick. This is Don McGuire with The Fighter's Voice. How you doing, brother?
Good, man. How you doing?
Oh, I just got done interviewing two of your teammates. Now an opportunity to interview a wrestler. I love that part.
Oh, yeah. Always fun.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I've had many wrestlers on my show. You know, I'll start with the famous, you know, and kind of rub it in a little bit. You know, I met Daniel Cormier when he hadn't even become a fighter yet. He was just the youth wrestling coach for AKA San Jose. And you can see the love. You can see the passion. And, you know, since then I've had a lot of wrestlers on my show. And even though they fight in the, you know, the MMA aspect all the way from local and regional shows to the top promotions in the world, their one true love is wrestling. What is it about wrestling that devoured who you are?
Man, I think just the sense of, like, there's no fault on anybody but yourself in any aspect of it. And that just, like, made me grow to love the competitiveness, because I pretty much get to control every aspect of what I do. So, and I think that was the big part of it. And so when you eliminate all outside aspects of something, I think it makes it more meaningful to an individual, because there's nothing but your heart and desire in it. I think that's a big part that made me really grow to love wrestling, so it was good.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you went to Christian Brothers, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah. See, well, I'm from SAC myself. You're probably going, how in the hell? But the reason I bring that up, because I'm in Missouri now. And
oh.
an aspect of you that was tremendous is you came to Mizzou. What was that experience like for you coming to Mizzou?
So actually, it's funny. I actually went to Mizzou because my dad said, he's like, hey, man, there's two great people for you to work out with every day at the University of Missouri. And when you have good workout partners and good coaches, you kind of get better. So those two people were actually, one was Matt Bell, and then the other one that everyone knows, Ben Askren. So that was a big reason I went to the University of Missouri, so I could work out and train with one of the best college wrestlers of all time, because I just knew it would be better. And it was about 6 hours from home, too, so that was nice.
What was it like for you to be under Brian Smith?
That was good. I mean, he's a lot like my dad. He believes in the hard work, blue-collar people, so he's so big in the, you know, you get what you put in, and it's not, you don't have to have the most talent, most technique in the world. I mean, and he develops really hard-working athletes to be great wrestlers, so I think that was a good thing I had in my kid's mindset of just doing everything right, living the right lifestyle, doing the right things, Just everything was just a good person to be under when it came to being a young athlete. So it was good, really good move decision, I think, going there.
Yeah. Well, Brian Smith doesn't put out too many compliments. He's kind of an ass in some sort of ways. But, you know, he had put out a statement before that you had came so close in the past that he felt that you couldn't be not denied in the future. What does it mean to have somebody of that stature put that type of belief in you early in your career?
It's really big, and it drives me, because I think one of the things that drives me is when people believe in me, like, and I don't need a whole lot, just the people that are important to me, like my parents, my family, some of my friends, and then whenever I went to college, he was pretty much like, you know, a head coach. So someone that you look up to and you don't want to let down leaves that much into you. It's good and just keeps you driving, keep you fresh. And you just look at what's right in front of you instead of what's miles down the road.
Yeah. You know, well, I think wrestling in the last 4 to 5 years has truly shown the jiu-jitsu aspect not to be prevalent. You know, you see the surgence of wrestlers coming into the sport, and now these new era athletes have to be defined. They have to know every aspect of the genre, because if you don't, you're going to get schooled. And the reason why a lot of them started to do that was because of the wrestlers coming into the sport. How was the transition for you going from wrestling into MMA?
Man, it is still a lot of learning and big thing. I think one thing that's helping me is I'm definitely putting my ego of my wrestling success and wrestling knowledge aside, because there is different aspects to the MMA world that is wrestling's good, but you have to tweak it to be good at fighting. So I think that's a big thing that I've been doing, is just putting my ego aside when it comes to wrestling and just absorbing everything I can from all these great people inside MMA Gold and just learning from them. So I think that was the biggest part, just putting my ego aside and learning. But my wrestling has helped me not get tapped out and choked out as much in practice, so that's nice.
You said that's nice. Yeah, because you were a part of Team USA, and you had many attributes behind you. Do you feel, as I hear your words, and it could be, my assumption could be wrong, do you feel that you're starting from scratch in this aspect in the MMA world?
Definitely, for sure. Starting from scratch, because there's so many parts to be a successful MMA fighter that I think that, you know, it's just, like I said earlier, put my ego aside and just learning. So definitely from scratch, and that's what, you know, been really fun lately, is I've just been learning, and it's like something new to me, but in time I'm like, you know, I can be successful just for being tough too. You see, I think I've seen a lot of fighters, just like Ben, I've seen him get hit quite a few times, but he's just tough, so he finds a way to win. So I think that will be a big part of, you know, fighting as well, and I think that that's one thing I've always had, is just toughness. So I think it's definitely fun right now.
Yeah, I can see it. You know, in 2014, you were part of the World Wrestling Championships. How did that make you grow, and what were your takeaways from that aspect? Because you've had a tremendous career, and you're still young. You had a tremendous career in all aspects, but not very many people get that opportunity. So what did that opportunity instill in you?
I would say probably on that level, it's such a small margin between the best and the 10th, or actually probably like the 30th guy in the world. So I think the big part that I've grown being on that level is just my mental edge, I'd say. I constantly had to be mentally prepared and mentally focused, because on that level, everyone's so close. It comes down to a small margin of just you know, who's mentally prepared and who's ready to go out there and just take what's right in front of them. And I think that was the big part of my transition from college to the USA. And even once I got to after college to make the USA team, I've had to tweak my technique and, you know, work out and gain strength, stuff like that. But I think the biggest part that changed it was my mental aspect of how I prepared, how I'm mentally prepared, learning how I want to feel before a match. And I think that's all big mental game. So I think it was that aspect of it, and looking at everybody as just another person, not as, you know, Jordan Burroughs, world champ. Just looking at him as, you know, it's just a guy in front of me, and you can beat him, and knowing that you have a chance to beat everybody that's in front of you. So I think the mental part was the biggest thing.
Yeah, it truly is. The mental aspect in any genre of life is always the biggest thing. How has MMA Gold been able to break down that transitional barrier, and how have they intertwined themselves with your thoughts? Because you've worked with some of the best in the country, let's face it, some of the best in the world. You know, what was it that swayed you towards MMA Gold and the training staff over there?
It actually started just me wanting to go in there because I loved wrestling so much. I was like, oh, I can literally run to their gym from my house. So I went in there. I was like, hey, I just want to come in here and wrestle around with some of your guys. And they're like, oh, we'd love that. And then they were talking about maybe putting me on, like, the coaching staff or something like that to teach wrestling. And then the more I thought about it, my body started healing. I started feeling better after being off for about a year or so. And then I was like, hey, man, why not just try a fight? Can you get me fighting? And Jim West was all about it. So once that clicked over, he really started putting time, trying to set me up with different people to work with. And so it's been a really easy transition going in there. They just made it easy. They don't, you know, they didn't force me into anything. I did it on my own time. I decided I wanted to do it. And they were just there to guide me to the right direction. So it's been really easy, and they've made it really comfortable and fun, I think, the most. Fun group of people to train with.
Well, you look at, I mean, records don't lie. You know, I've been interviewing their fighters for years now, and you look back and you look at Max Griffin, Justin Baseman, Marion Renault, and now they're cross-training with Andrea KGB Lee, and there's been many others, Anthony Fluffy Hernandez and Danny Ramirez. The list goes on and on and on. They have quite an ability to teach fighters an essence that they didn't know. What essence of you, Nick, did you know, come to learn through the teachings there, and what realizations have you made in yourself since you've been there?
Oh, man, I would say I think the biggest thing I realized is that I'm not going to be a good fighter with just good wrestling. That's a big thing. And then, like I said, like they never once told me, because once you get on a certain level, you kind of start building an ego. They never once told me I was wrong at doing something. They gave me ways. He was like, hey, well, why don't you try this way? It will help you not get put in this situation. So they just kind of led me in the right direction. And, you know, like I said, the big part there is, like, whenever I was there just helping wrestling around, they just trained all the time, and they just seemed like they had fun while they were doing it. So it made a good environment. And then, yeah, it just made me kind of more motivated to want to do it. And then just jumped into it. And now I'm still learning a little bit at a time. So my striking is the biggest thing I'm working on right now. And that's been fun.
Yeah. You know, earlier I kind of went 0-for-2 off of Tapology, and I never use Tapology because I don't even write down a question for my shows, but I went 0-for-2 earlier, so I'm not even going to try to go 0-for-3 today because Tapology's been wrong twice. who are you slated to fight June 29th at GKO? Because the internet's all screwed up.
So I think I was supposed to fight someone, Gabe Freeman, but I think that is no longer a no-go. So by date, still the same. They're just trying to find someone to fill that spot to fight against me.
Okay. Well, you know, it's a tremendous, you know, Joe Cortez is a tremendous, tremendous individual in life. And a lot of people, including myself, we look at GKO as a promotion that truly deserves recognition. What does it mean to you to be able to get an opportunity to fight for that promotion?
Honestly, like I haven't had a chance to go to a fight yet, so I'm really excited that my first time probably fighting there would probably be the first time I see it. But hopefully I'll get out there because I actually get married in May, so I'm going out of town May 24th, so I don't think I'll get to see any fights before then. And then when I come back, I'm just probably going to focus on training for the fight. So I'm really excited to get down there. But I've heard tremendous things about the fight. Jim West and all the guys at the gym talk highly about it, and they think it's a great place to have fights. So from what I hear, it's going to be an awesome event, and I'm just glad that they're letting me be on the fight card for my first fight. So I think I'm excited.
Yeah. Congratulations on getting married, though.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. I've been married 34 years now, man. So it's a good thing, man. It settles us down. It teaches us that we don't know everything in life because, as the old saying goes, a woman's always right. We're always wrong. No. Good
yep.
luck on that. Got to give you crap, man.
Yep.
But you know,
no, it's good.
Life is fun, and it's always changing. You know, it's tremendous to see a young aspect of wrestling that was so dominant and prominent in what you did make this transition. You know, if you had to paraphrase to the sport what this truly means to you to get your opportunity in the MMA world, what would that statement be, brother?
My statement, I think the biggest thing I want to go in is I was so in college wrestling and with the USA team, I was really well known for my positioning and my counter offense. So a lot of people didn't say I was the most fun wrestler to watch because of my defense was so good. I think my biggest statement I want to do as a fighter is be a very entertaining individual in the ring so that I kind of change that perception of the type of athlete I am. So I think that's the biggest statement I want to make. And my first fight is just letting everybody know that I am going to be a fun fighter and entertainer. So I think that's going to be my biggest statement I'm trying to make over the next couple of years.
I like that. You know, when I interviewed Daniel Cormier, you know, I asked him, what did it feel like? You know, because he had made the statement that even though he loved MMA, wrestling is truly his heart. And I asked him, I said, why? He said, because of it's a more of a one-on-one, you know, grind. Do you feel that a certain aspect of you will be more defined, or do you feel that it'll just transition you into the next aspect of the sport as a different type of athlete?
I definitely think that wrestling will be my main thing because I've done it so long. It's just so natural for me. And, you know, the body is a creature of habit. So I can't take away what my body's been doing naturally for 18 so years. So I think, as much as that, even if I didn't want to be, my main thing is going to be wrestling, it would naturally be whenever something, you know, doesn't go my way, my body's going to naturally go back to its protective zone of wrestling. But with that said, is I think that my wrestling is going to transition me into a better striker and into a better grappler. And I think it's going to really transition, my wrestling will transition me into a really fun fighter as well. So I think that I'm going to use my wrestling to branch off and be a great entertainer when it comes to fighting.
I like that. You know, let's take a step back in the early aspects of life for you, Nick. You know, what initially got you into any type of sport? You got into wrestling, on this run, but what was life like the early days, and what led you down the path into sports?
Yeah, so like that's where my wrestling was funny, because whenever I was growing up, I had three older brothers. So they all played sports, and they're all bigger than me. They're all, one's like 6'4", one's 6 foot. They're all tall, so I was the smallest one of my four brothers, and they would beat up on me a lot. But those type of kids where our parents made us go outside and play games. So always outside playing sports games and stuff. But whenever I started playing sports, my parents started me off in soccer. Super competitive, hated losing. And then they started me in basketball. Then when I got old enough, football. And in all those sports, I was always wanting to win, no matter what kind of league it was. And when I lost, I had a bad temper. So I didn't start wrestling until eighth grade. And once I started wrestling, it actually helped out my temper. So that was good. But in all the other sports I played, I was always a position where I was an entertaining athlete. So I was a point guard, basketball. I was in soccer, everyone can be pretty entertaining. And then in football, I was running back, outside linebacker, so I was entertaining. So I was always used to being this entertaining athlete. And then whenever I got in the wrestling, like whenever we would lose, there was always a different aspect. It was always like somebody that was not always my fault. And I hate making excuses. So then I started wrestling, and when I was losing wrestling, I couldn't get mad at anybody but myself, because I'm the only one in control. I tried to, but broke that habit fast. But there was a point where it was hard, because I was always the entertaining athlete in most of my sports. And then when I got to wrestling, I was still really entertaining until I got to that level of like college where everyone's really good. And then I was, you know, winning 3-2 matches, 3-1 matches, 5-4 matches. So that was hard for me to take in, but then I just kept developing stuff from there. And that's why I'm kind of excited about fighting, because I think it's going to take my athleticism in all aspects. And I think I will be entertaining. So that's kind of how I got into wrestling. My dad and my brothers all wrestled too. My uncle wrestled, so we were a pretty big wrestling family, but I did start at a late age compared to a lot of people. A lot of people start when they're early, and then I started when I was in eighth grade. So
how hard was it for you to leave the Midwest mentality and go to the West Coast? Because if I'm not wrong, you're from Collierville, Tennessee, correct? How hard was it for you to make that transition? Because I'm originally from the West Coast, and I moved out to the Midwest 24 years ago, and I just got back from Portland, and I could say that's a whole new world to me. How hard was it for you to make that transition, not only in sports but in life?
Man, it actually wasn't very hard for me. I'm a kind of person that just kind of goes with it. Very laid back when it comes to life and traveling and doing things. So I got offered to come out here. I was like, okay, yeah, I'll go check it out. Checked it out. And then within a couple of weeks, I was driving out here with two dogs. I think it was more hard for my fiance. She had a job in Pennsylvania and Erie, PA. And I told her I wasn't living there no matter what. So it was more hard for her. But then she got lucky in her companies letting her work from home. So we're out here, and the only hard part is the taxes and the price of living out here. But besides that, everything's awesome.
He says, I'm not going to talk about the liberals, bro. Don't go there.
I don't even know, like all the terminology. I just know what's taken out of my paycheck. So, but you know, you pay for the weather, right?
Yeah, you truly do. You know, and the food. You know. Even though, I don't know, I'm kind of backwards now. Now I prefer a good plate of biscuits and gravy compared to a taco. So, most people don't understand that. We got our biscuits and gravy and grits, man.
Yep. Those are good, too.
Oh, man. Collard greens. There's just so much out here that people just don't even know about. Plus, we're 20 years behind the West Coast. I'll deal with that all day long. Now, are you still the assistant? Are you still the assistant wrestling coach for West Virginia University, or is that something that you had to lay the rest?
No, the coaching done with. I help out a couple local high schools here, but right now I work at Lifetime Fitness. So that's where I'm at here in California, and then it's right down the street from MMA Gold. And coaching, I love coaching athletes, developing them, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I was kind of sick of traveling every weekend. So that's where I kind of was like, oh, I want that where I can actually do the things that I want to do and not have to travel every weekend. So that's one reason I never got into fighting earlier, is because it's hard when you're coaching, because I was traveling every weekend. I was coaching kids. I got a lot of wrestling in, but at the same time, I wasn't able to actually train myself or recover or do anything like that. So,
That's got to be rigorous. You know, when I talked about it earlier with one of your teammates, you know, I have my master's in engineering science, and I walked away from that world to become a combat sports photographer. And, you know, like the first 5 years, I worked 42 weeks a year. And it's crazy, you know. It's crazy what we put ourselves through for a sport that really doesn't pay that much unless you're in the top 1%. You know, you truly got to love what you're doing. At what aspect in your life did you realize that the love for the sport was going to, you know, pretty much overshadow every other aspect in your life?
I think whenever I got to college and I focused on one thing. So in high school, I played football, church league basketball, and then I wrestled. But football was one of my passions for a while. And then once I got to college, you start focusing on one thing. And, you know, I was focused on school, but then the one sport I was focused on was wrestling. And that's just kind of when, you know, training at Missouri, I realized that, man, this is just something I love, can't live without. So I think it was probably my first, second year. And then when I wrestled at the NCAA tournament, actually, whenever I went to the NCAA tournament, I was wrestling behind, I think my first year there, I was redshirt, and then they took me to the NCAA tournament. And I think that was when Ben Askren was in the finals. I think Woodley was placed, a couple other people placed there, but I was just watching. And I was like, man, I can't wait to wrestle in this tournament. And then wrestling in it, was in the semifinals, did all that, All-American. And it was one of the best places to wrestle in. So I think it was around that time, probably my second year of college, I realized that it was something that I just can't do without.
You know, you look at Aaron Pico, you look at Joey Black Eyes Davis, you look at Juan Archuleta, you know, Daniel Cormier, all tremendous wrestlers that have gone to create a greater aspect of himself in MMA. You know, what's it going to be like for you, bro? And, you know, and I asked this question to the other guests, so I'm going to ask you, what's it going to be like for you? Because you've got that opportunity, you're still young enough to where your idols become your rivals. If that day does come, how will you handle that aspect?
Oh, that's when it starts getting really fun, I think, because that same stuff happened in college. I got out of college, and then the same people that I looked up to when I was going to college, or when I was in college or right before college, that were my kind of my idols. I got out of college, and I started wrestling the USA team. So those guys were 4 or 5 years older than me, but they were the people that were my idols. And then all of a sudden, I start wrestling them, and I'm like, oh man, like this is real. But that's when it gets really fun. I think that's something that just kind of drives me whenever I know, like, I'm at that stage. Like, it's no longer they're my idols. Now they're, you know, people I respect, but now they're people I want to beat. So I think that's when it really makes it fun for me. And I think that's a big stepping stone of where you want to get to.
Most definitely. I mean, next couple of years, you could be facing Ben Askren, you know? Not on the mat, but in the cage, bro. So that's good.
Maybe he doesn't catch weight with me. He's a little bit bigger than me, but I would take that. I'd fight Ben. He's fun. I think it'd be a fun fight. I just gotta make sure he doesn't choke me out with his weird stuff.
Yeah. That guy's just crazy.
I know. He was always a character, even in college. He was a good guy to look up to, though.
Yeah, most definitely. I've always admired him in the sport. You know, what's weird is, you don't have an opponent, but yet you're still slated for June 29th. Now, if fans of yours want to be able to buy tickets and you get credit and so forth, how can they do that?
That's not even something I've talked with Jim about yet. I've been so consumed with learning how to strike and jiu-jitsu and that stuff, I haven't even really been thinking about the fight. I've just been thinking about my training one day at a time, so that's probably a good question that I should probably start asking them.
Yeah, because you get credit for that, you know, you get discounts.
Yeah.
You get part of the ticket sales, you know. Really,
yeah, I mean, people here at Lifetime that I work with, they all want to come and watch, of course, because they've never actually seen me wrestle or anything, so now this would be the first time they would get to see me do something, because our GM, Steve Dante, he talks all the time about me being a good wrestler to them and stuff. So now they're like, oh, you're going to fight? I want to go watch. So that's probably something I should find out.
Yeah, you think? Oh, you know, it's funny because in life we always look at the things we've done. And I referenced Kung Lee earlier too, but you guys have just been tremendous guests today. You know, Kung Lee, when I had him on my show, you know, I asked him about his accolades, and you seem like the same type of person. He said, I never look at my past. I always keep my eyes focused forward. Would you say that that's a relevant aspect in who you are and the new creation of you in the MMA world?
Yeah, definitely. I think that nothing I've done in the past is relevant to what I'm doing now, so definitely just stay focused forward and keep learning, and never too good to learn. So I think that's a thing. If I start having an ego and thinking that I'm better than, or I'm something that I'm not yet, then I think it can definitely affect where I go in the future. So definitely just straightforward, day by day, round by round, just relax and enjoy it, have fun while I do it.
Oh, most definitely. You know, if I could give you one piece of advice before we kind of wrap things up here. You know, somebody did a Q&A with James Krause, who's a tremendous UFC veteran and a brother of mine that I shoot at this gym. You know, they asked him, what's it like to be 22-7? He said, I'm not 22-7. I'm 22-0 with 7 lessons learned. So if you look at that analogy and you move forward in life with that, I think it'll be a lot more humble for you in, you know, moving into the MMA genre. You know, it takes wisdom to create champions. You know, before I let you go, you know, I always like to give the fighters the opportunity to thank those. And I know there's many, and there's probably way too many for you to thank and the creation of you. But if you had to make a statement to those who stood by your side, whispered the words that you needed to hear, or the ones that shoved you when you needed the intent, a statement of thanks, what would that be, Nick?
Definitely, I would think definitely there's been a few people that have always been there and supported me. Obviously, my fiance, she wasn't too happy about me going into the fighting world because she worries about me, but she said if you want to do it and it's something you love and feel like you need to do, I support you 100%. So definitely got to thank her. And then my dad and my mom, always been there, never missed anything. I'm always supported me. So they're the main reasons I am who I've been and the success I've had because of them and the discipline they've instilled in me. So that's a big part. And then, of course, my brothers for beating up on me so long, made me tough. And then Sammy Hinson actually has always pushed me to be a better wrestler. So he's always been there, still there today. And then my GM here, actually, Steve Dante, he's an awesome guy. He's the whole reason I came out to California. And his son actually is a fighter out in Colorado, had a pro fight last night. and his thing. So definitely want to thank him for bringing me out to California and meeting all these great people like Jim West and everyone at MMA Gold. For God, all those guys take all the time out of the day just to help me and teach me when I know that they could be training on their own. So big thanks to all those guys. And then, of course, my doc Hines. He's one of my doctors, but he's also one of my good friends. He's always there to support me, and if I ever need any injuries or anything like that, he's right there to help me out. So it's a big group of people that have always been there for me, so I appreciate them and everything they do.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was a true honor for me to have you on the show. You know, when Jim hit me and threw your name in there, and I was like, that name's familiar, and then I realized Mizzou, and then I was like, holy crap, you know? Well, because most people across the United States, they don't come to realize that Mizzou is a hell of a school. Some of the greatest athletes in the world come out of Mizzou. I mean, and I'm not being partial to Mizzou, I mean, because I'm in southern Missouri, and they're about 3 hours away. But, you know, because we've got Missouri State right down the street from me. But and we got Drury and a couple other colleges. But Mizzou is tremendous, and it seems and appears that they've done a tremendous job with you. It was a tremendous honor for me to have you on the show today. I love the wrestling aspect of the sport. It's truly tremendous what you've accrued through your life already, and I wish you the best of luck in the future. I'm going to hand the mic to you if you have any sponsors, friends or family, any social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program, Nick. The floor is yours, brother.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Really enjoyed being on the show. Hopefully next time we talk will be after a few wins, and just really appreciate you taking the time out to have me on your show. And then, of course, MMA Gold. Got to thank them a lot for starting to work with me and teach me things. So that's about all I have, man. I, once again, really appreciate you having me on the show.
Oh, no problem, man. The only thing I ask is you go give Jim crap and say, you know, ask him, say, hey, I want to learn jiu-jitsu.
Well, for sure.
I love giving that guy. I love busting his balls. He really is a tremendous guy, but I got to give him crap on the jiu-jitsu crap, but you know, keep it up, my friend. You've created greatness in the sport already. I can't wait to see what you do in the MMA world. Congratulations again on getting married. I wish you the best of luck and have a tremendous night, a tremendous honeymoon, and wish you the best of luck, my brother, come June 29th.
Awesome, man. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, brother. You have a good day. God bless.
You too. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nick is humble as hell. I mean, multiple All-American, USA team. I mean, just tremendous, tremendous. All the guests today, from Adam Avidia to Billy Brand to Nick Marable, all tremendous young athletes coming out of MMA Gold. And you got to look at the strength of MMA Gold and the persistency of the coaching staff. I mean, it's tremendous. I truly enjoy it. I mean, I'm transparent. I didn't know the first two fighters' careers at all, you know, but to listen to them, you can hear their well-defined, articulated aspects that are learning and growing in the sport. You know, Nick, I kind of knew a little bit about because of Mizzou, and it's a tremendous school, but you put all three of these athletes together, and MMA Gold has done a tremendous, tremendous job with them, you know, and my hat's off to them, Jim West, Dave Hirschfein, the rest of them. Tremendous job what you're doing with these young athletes, and tremendous job what you're doing with the ones in UFC and Bellator and Invictus. You know, keep doing what you're doing, creating a new and defined aspect in the sport. With that being said, I want to thank my sponsors, Finnish MMA, Juan Martinez, Cutman for Hire with Jacob Stitch-Duran and Juan Ramirez, Biting Mouthguards with Joe Rice, and the 86ers.net with Alfred Tarrant and Freddie Colbert. The dream team, man. Without any of them, I wouldn't exist. On that note, I want to wish everybody a happy, happy Sunday, good night, and God bless.
I'm in the booth. I'm in the booth. Say something on the mic. Booth. Say something heavy.
Oh, yo, yo, yo. That's what I'm talking about. My young boy up in the booth. We get ready to kick it live.
Whip form, might get deported. Fish me alive, less than anointed. Broke this at 111, recorded. Clock struck 12, bank on Warner. Might sound with Stoney just for some stock, nigga. Still independent, been in the lot, nigga. Cream on the seats, cream of the crop, nigga. Had to wait for the heat, then with the yacht, nigga. Talk overseas, no Portuguese. I made kiss on the sleeve, my soul is clean. Hold greater respect